Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're talking about strange places, strange people. And our guest this week is Maxim Furyk. And he has an extensive background in psychology and communications, all this other stuff. But we're here to focus on a book he wrote called, I'm going to really take this to the nth degree, Coal Region Hoodoo. Paranormal Tales from Inside the Pit. I really want to sound like Vincent Price when I say that accent.
I like the way you're doing that, Gene. I mean, it comes across, it resonates. Yeah. And I could use a manager, too. So, I know you, if you have any free time, maybe we could talk about that.
Well, I charge 97%.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Beatles song Taxman. It was written in the 1960s by George Harrison, and the tax rate in the UK then was 95%.
Ooh.
So one of the lyrics in the song, it's one for me, 19 for you, I think is the proper lyric there, and that's what they were complaining about.
Yeah, sure. And one reason why punk rock was so popular, I mean, they were just pissed off at the government and the taxes and everything else. So punk rock represented a form of lifestyle and anger, you know. Over here in the United States, I mean, those same songs were just dance music. Never had the same connotation it did over in the UK. So, you know, they were more serious about a lot of things. And I think their music might have been more representative of what they were going through at the time.
Well, it's certainly true, for example, that people like Sean Connery left the UK because of the taxes. And he was the kind of guy who really watched his money. I think he sued almost every studio he worked for. And I saw a 60-minute show there where you see Sean Connery and his wife, and he's got his reading glasses on, and he's going through the financials with a fine-tooth comb. This is before everything was digital. So he was looking for how the studios were cheating him, because he, at one time in his time, was the most famous actor in the world.
Sure.
And he didn't get a fraction of it. Another story, of course, is the late Jim Garner, when he did Rockford Files on TV. I believe that's Universal. So Comcast Universal may want to sue me now. He sued them because the show was on for years, very successful. I guess he was supposed to get something on the back end. But instead, they hit him on the back end with a paddle, because it showed a loss of money. This is a successful network TV show. Syndication rights, it lost money.
Yeah, and for some of your younger listeners out there, with Sean Connery and the James Bond movies, I mean, a lot of us guys wanted to be just like James Bond. I mean, he got all the babes, killed all the villains. I mean, he was like the man's man. He was sort of one of the idols, you know, for the 60s. I mean, he was just too smooth. I mean, you know, you couldn't kill him. You know, he was just slick and smooth, sophisticated, and all that. So, you know, one of our, I don't know, I guess role models in a sense, you know, one of our idols. Or
you know, there's a story out there that when he did the first film, Dr. No, the director or producer of both had to kind of train him to act like a sophisticated man, because he was just kind of a street guy from Scotland. And before he learned how to say Bond, James Bond, to say it the proper way, as he says it in the movie very early on in Dr. No, they had to get him, shall we say, under the influence of several glasses of an alcoholic beverage.
Yeah, sure. That's good. That's a good story. Yeah.
He learned the shtick, though. And I think also the best Indiana Jones film with Harrison Ford was the one where his father, played by Sean Connery, was present. They interacted beautifully.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're doing this, but
it all fits, doesn't it? I mean, this is what maybe podcasting should all about, you know, just like being in the living room with the fireplace and just having a chat about whatever. I mean, eventually we're going to talk about Coleridge and Hoodoo, you know, my paranormal book, but this is fine. I mean, you know, and again, I just want to say this from the beginning, that I want to thank you for the opportunity to talk to your listeners and to tell them about, you know, a little bit about my career and about some of the books that I've written. Yeah, I appreciate this, you know, this opportunity.
Okay. Says here in your bio, he considers himself a student of the paranormal and has explored and published numerous articles on what some have called the Coleridge Hoodoo. Now, when you say hoodoo, by the way, I think of Louisiana and Creedence Clearwater Revival. Of course, they were from Northern California.
Yep, right.
And maybe what it is that John Fogerty was reincarnated from somebody in Louisiana, and that's why he learned to sing as he did.
You could say that, or you could say that maybe that Louisiana hoodoo was channeled through him, you know, whatever term we want to use, that bayou country, you know, that whole culture really affected him, influenced him, and he took it and ran with it. He became an ambassador of Louisiana voodoo thing. And I mean, he did it better than anybody else. He had the voice, he had the three or four chords. And he was just incredible. And, I mean, everybody loved CCR. And I just hated what happened when they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, with his fellow bandmates, I just thought that he was, you know, highly disrespected when he was there on that stage. And, you know, it hurt to watch that. And then even before that with Fantasy Records, they gave him a raw deal. And he was bitter about that. And that's too bad because, again, John Fogerty's another musical icon. I mean, legendary, prolific. I mean, just a wonderful rock superstar. And yet some of the challenges that he had. Again, you know, when I talk about the hoodoo, the Coleridge hoodoo, I'm talking about some people get the blessing and some people get the curse. You know, and a lot of times it's a little bit of both. And John Fogerty, I think, is an example of that.
He was performing as of a year or two ago. I don't know if he's continued, but his voice is still there in his 70s. And his kids are performing. He's got two sons and a daughter, musically adept, which is really good. More interesting there, when he worked for Fantasy Records, the deal was so bad that he wasn't getting money that he deserved from all the songs he wrote.
Correct.
He had to sue them, and he had to go through a number of things. And for years after, he would not perform a Creedence song until they settled. And finally, he agreed to perform. He wasn't, of course, the only artist ripped off. Another example is Tommy James and the Shondells. Mm-hmm. Because the record company that signed Tommy James was a front for the mob in New York.
We're left records with Morris Levy. Yep, I know.
Morris Levy, right. What happened there is, if he needed money, well, he'd hand him some cash. But he was selling tens of millions of records. But he wrote a book about it, by the way, I think 2010, 2011. And although he doesn't discuss it much anymore, he's still around and he does occasionally interview shows on Sirius XM satellite radio. He was interested in UFOs.
Okay, no, I didn't know that. Okay. What was the song? Ball of Fire, what was it? There was a song about a UFO and maybe the Branzano Bridge in New York. I'm trying to think what that was, but there was a song about a UFO that Tommy James and the Shondells did.
Okay, I know, of course, John Lennon wrote a song about UFOs over New York and nobody seems to care.
Yeah, yeah. But one time I was writing a book about Tommy James and the Shondells. I interviewed Mike Vail, the bass player, Ron, I forget his last name, the lead guitarist, and, you know, was going to do that. I'm good friends with Richie Grasso. Richie Grasso and Tommy James wrote Sweet Cherry Wine. And it was interesting because Tommy and Richie Grasso were Catholics working in a predominantly Jewish business, you know, the Roulette Records, Morris Levy and all them. And they wrote Sweet Cherry Wine about communion. You know, to save us, he gave us sweet cherry wine. But when you read Tommy's book, he has maybe a sentence, you know, attributing sweet cherry wine to also Richie Grasso. I mean, Richie Grasso did not get, you know, his due with that. He was the co-writer of the song. And, you know, Richie and I talked about that, you know, numerous times.
Let's do our break now, Max. Okay. And we'll talk a little bit about music trivia before we segue into the paranormal. And the pit. I need Vincent Price here. Where was Vincent Price when we needed him? With Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, fascinating discussion here with Maxim Furyk. And obviously he's very interested in culture, rock and roll music, obviously. We're talking about Tommy James and the Shondells, and the co-author of Sweet Cherry Wine doesn't get his due. I hope he at least got financial credit for what he did on that song?
I believe he did. And I don't know if we talked about that very much, but, Tommy's book did really well. I think it was something about the mob and me. And he's putting together a rock opera, sort of like the Jersey Boys. And I think that's close to being completed. But, Tommy James had a great career. And Gene, I used to work as a rock journalist. I would go and interview bands and get free tickets to concerts and all that. And I wrote a couple of books. And what happened with the Shepton book, I was writing a book about a song called Timothy. Now, the highest charting rock song in northeastern Pennsylvania was Timothy, 1971. That was by a group called The Boys. So I wanted to write a rock mythology connecting the song Timothy with the Shepton mine disaster of 1963. In both cases, there were three guys that went down in the mine. And in the case of Shepton, the two guys were rescued, and then the one guy they never found. So there were allegations in these little patch towns, back in Pennsylvania, these little tiny little coal towns were called patches. But the people in Shepton and Oneida asked the rescued miners, what happened to your mate? What happened to Louis Bova? And there were allegations of cannibalism. So that was 63. In 71, when Rupert Holmes, he was 19, 20 years old, he was working for Scepter Records, and he wanted to write a song that was controversial to get the boys some notoriety. So he wrote a song about cannibalism, and that was Timothy. And Timothy seemed to parallel what happened in Shepton. And as I was researching Shepton, I found out that, this story was vaster than just a song about, a pop song about cannibalism. It was just like an event that is really significant in the annals of parapsychology. That's the Shepton Mine Disaster of 1963. And that was the subject of my first book, Shepton, The Myth, Miracle, and Music.
When you say that, you talk about the event in Pennsylvania. I think of a song that was popular in the 60s, New York Mining Disaster, yeah. 1941, from the Bee Gees.
Sure.
And, of course, the Bee Gees kind of gained a lot and lost a lot because of disco. But if you look into their catalog, these kids wrote amazing music. They had lots of people, Barbara Streisand, Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers, people doing their songs. Celine Dion did a song from theirs. They could just write all this great stuff, had great natural harmonies. They could sing a cappella at the drop of a penny. Really great, kind of sad that two of the members died prematurely. One because of a hospital, possible malpractice, so it's kind of sad. But the song was New York Mining Disaster, 1941. Sure. I don't recall what they said was the logic in writing that song.
Yeah, I don't know, but when you talk about 6 degrees of separation, and when you and I were speaking, we were talking the other night, and I sort of defined you as an eclectic individual. I mean, you just have a whole lot of interest, and you're like me. I mean, a lot of us wear different hats, but with the 6 degrees of separation, when Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton did their Islands in the Stream tour, again, a song written by the Bee Gees, it was a year and a half. They picked a band called Sawyer Brown to warm them up for that year and a half. And my friend, I used to go to school in Aquinas College in Michigan, and my friend Jim Scholten was the bass player for Sawyer Brown. So he was on that ride, and they were sort of like country pop. But I mean, still, I've seen Sawyer Brown at least 7 times, but I mean, they still have that following, and country fans seem to have that loyalty. But anyway, it was because of the Bee Gees and because of Islands in the Stream, Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, that the Sawyer Brown got that really big opportunity to travel around the world, with Kenny Rogers and to expose, to get a whole nother audience. So it was kind of neat. Funny how that works, that we all have, people in common, I guess, connectors.
Now, one of the things we can talk about music trivia very briefly before we get more into the paranormal. The other day I saw this documentary film, which is maybe 10 years old, called The Wrecking Crew.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. L.A.
So we explain here, The Wrecking Crew was a group of maybe 12 to 15 session musicians at work from the 50s to the 60s and partly the 70s.
Right.
And what they did was they were the backup band for everybody. I mean everybody. And one of the reasons you had these studio musicians is because in those days they didn't have multi-track like now, 24-track, 48-track, whatever you can get in a digital arrangement. You had 4-track or something, or 2-track. And when you did a recording, you needed to get everything perfect because money was involved.
Right.
So for the studio, they would use these studio musicians who were super creative, and therefore they could do things on the spot and get a song done in an hour that might take 3 months otherwise.
Right.
So these people, and there's some of them are still around, by the way, but these people would work for Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Why the Beach Boys? Because they were a self-contained band. Yes. But to do the advanced stuff that Brian Wilson wanted in the studio, Carol Kaye on bass doing the fabulous bass for Good Vibrations, he had to have all these people do it because they can get it done. And then his group, his brother, cousin, and friend, could go and then duplicate the sound.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the Monkees were criticized because their first couple of albums, they had studio musicians. It turned out that the Birds had studio musicians,
yeah.
Simon and Garfunkel, and all these people, the Association, for example, had studio musicians.
Even Phil Spector, I mean, he used the Wrecking Crew, and it was Glenn Campbell who did the lead guitar and Help Me Rhonda. And, you know, the interesting thing about the Wrecking Crew, Gene, is that if you and I were young teenagers back in L.A., we could have walked into that studio, sang a couple of songs, and had them back us. And I think we'd be able to, you know, get them for some kind of union wages. I think they were accessible, but a lot of people did that. And I think the Wrecking Crew, you know, they were responsible for shaping a lot of that music in the early 60s. I mean, Leon Russell and, Glenn Campbell and, just so many of them. And then I think some of those guys were the Shindogs on Shindig. I think they were the backup band for the TV series Shindig.
It was so interesting to see how that worked. Of course, Glenn Campbell became famous as a singer. Jimmy Webb, when he did MacArthur Park with Richard Harris, who was the backing band, of course, the Wrecking Crew. Really fascinating how that worked. But the Monkees got criticized about, it's a fake TV band, because people didn't realize at the time that a lot of their favorite bands were using the Wrecking Crew for backup in the studio to get it right the first time. We're going to get it right here with Maxim, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
USA News Update. President Biden says talks about the debt ceiling are ongoing. Biden spoke briefly with reporters before boarding Air Force One after addressing Howard University's commencement. He added there are real discussions about a debt ceiling deal, but we're not there yet. Former President Trump canceled an outdoor rally in Iowa Saturday due to stormy weather. Both he and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis had scheduled separate events in the Hawkeye State. DeSantis spoke earlier at a GOP fundraiser in Cedar Rapids. He is reportedly set to officially enter the presidential race. At least one person is dead and 11 others injured after a tornado in southern Texas. The twister slammed the community of Laguna Heights early Saturday morning. This is Karen Sloan, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
A little bit more about the Wrecking Crew, then we get into the paranormal world. Okay, if you look at some of the songs there, how they develop special lines for songs like the only number one hit record that Frank Sinatra actually had, and he had a lot of top-selling records and was a great artist, he did with his daughter Nancy Something Stupid.
Something Stupid, yeah.
And this guy Tedesco, I forget his first name, Tedesco was the guitarist who created the lines on that song. Or Sonny and Cher. Because Sonny Bono was an assistant with Phil Spector. He learned that technique. And so when they did I've Got Your Babe or The Beat Goes On, with The Beat Goes On, Carole Kaye took a very, and she shows you now how she did. She's in her 80s and she's really sharp. She took a basic, simple bass line and did a da, 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 you know, whatever, and created the unique sound and feel of that song. That's where so many of these things came out. Quickly, before we go with that, the Monkees. The Monkees resented having studio musicians do it, but because three of them were musicians already. You know, Mickey Dolenz played guitar, Peter Tork did keyboards and guitar. Davy Jones, of course, played bass and guitar. And Mike Nesmith was a fabulous guitarist and songwriter. But they decided Mickey Dolenz is got to be the drummer. So he had to physically learn the drums. And he'd also watch Hal Blaine and others who did the drum parts on the recordings until he learned it. But the legend goes that in the song Pleasant Valley Sunday, that's from Jerry Goffin and Carole King, the lead guitar part was played by Mike Nesmith. The other thing we forget about the Monkees is that they were no different than the Beach Boys in having studio musicians and going out and doing it themselves. When they came out in public and did the performance, they all played their own instruments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw a recording of Mickey Dolenz playing drums like in the 90s, years after the Monkees broke up, and he wasn't bad. He says, look, I learned the parts for the songs that we played. And he did, and he did well, right. Doesn't mean he was a crack drummer, but he learned enough to get away with it. But then again, some rock musicians with hit records only know enough to play their songs and nothing else. So what the heck? Anyway, that's the Wrecking Crew. If you go to YouTube, it's free with ads. Watch it, because you will see people who were on hundreds or thousands of hit records, won gold records up the kazoo, platinum records, because they played, but were not always credited on all these hit records, going into the 70s, and also things like TV shows like Mission Impossible, Hawaii 5-0. They did the themes for it. Let's talk about the paranormal, because music is sometimes paranormal. And as we realize, lots of musicians are interested in the paranormal. How did Maxim, the writer on rock and culture, become interested in the strange and unknown?
I was making a connection between the song Timothy by the Boys and the Shepton Mine disaster. That's all I was going to do. And I just sort of like fell into it. I wasn't looking for the paranormal, but it sort of found me. I just sort of fell down that rabbit hole. As I was researching the Shepton Mine disaster, I found out that it represented a number of paranormal themes. For example, out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, and after-death experiences. And then the miners had seen humanoid creatures. They saw, and again, they were trapped for 2 weeks. They were trapped 330 feet down in the mine. It was black. They were crawling on their hands and knees like dogs, sucking in the coal dust, the coal particles. They said that they saw the image of Pope John the 23rd. So the Shepton narrative is one of all these paranormal visions, you know, the humanoid creatures, everything. And then when I discovered that, I started to write about it and do the research and talk to people about it. And in 2016, I called it the Shepton Mythology, but the working title of it was, actual title was Shepton, The Myth, Miracle, and Music. And that became a big thing for me as far as introducing me to the paranormal realm, as far as being on various the paranormal podcast, et cetera. So it was just a big thing. And back in the day, Tim Schwartz and Timothy Green Beckley had me on their show, along with Richard Toronto. And we talked about the Shepton disaster, as well as Richard Sharp Shaver and the Inner Earth Theory. And Richard's in my book as well. So I didn't go looking for the paranormal, but it sort of found me. And again, that seems to be another hat, I guess, that I'm wearing. You know, another road that I'm taking, and it's pretty fascinating. I mean, again, it led to this interview tonight. You know, I mean, there's just so many people that are fascinated by the paranormal and the supernatural, you know, especially during these days. And again, you know, I mean, you know, everything sort of stays the same. You know, nothing's really new under the sun. But people are just, you know, really upset about, you know, what COVID did to us with inflation, with the, you know, disparity between the rich and the poor, with the politics, with all that. And I think, and again, I think that in a sense, and maybe you could, you know, piggyback on this, but I think in the sense that maybe, you know, visiting the paranormal, the supernatural, it sort of becomes a therapy. It gives people a place to go to, maybe a safe place, maybe a place where there's some peace and tranquility away from the turmoil of 2023. So, I mean, that's one theory, but you have to realize that. I mean, I think your listeners realize that there's a lot of interest in the paranormal today, as there's less interest in organized religion. I mean, fewer people are going to the church or the mosque or the temple. And I think more people are, you know, dabbling or experimenting in the supernatural and the paranormal. So it's just a change. It's just what's happening today in 2023.
Why don't you give us some background on the whole Shepton mystery? Where did it take place? When did it take place?
Yeah, Tim. The Shepta narrative, it took place in Shepton, Pennsylvania, which was a tiny little coal town outside of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. It was in northeastern Pennsylvania, and this took place in 1963. So three men were trapped for 2 weeks. They were trapped 330 feet, in this mine. There was no hope of extrication. And when they were finally rescued, this was a story of human survival. The Associated Press called it one of the most significant stories of the year. And it was surpassed only by, do you know the event, 1963? Shepton took place in August.
I don't know. Why don't you tell us?
I will. Yes, absolutely. In November, President John Kennedy was assassinated. So the Shepton disaster, that was a huge story. Associated Press called it one of the top stories of the year. There were news reporters from Germany, from the UK, from Japan that were watching this story of human survival. There were thousands of people there, National Guard, military people, Salvation Army, the rubberneckers, the people just gawking that, shouldn't have been there. There were military people there. There were a psychiatrist watching this. Now, there were people that were familiar with bomb shelters and the psychology, the psychological effects of being in a bomb shelter. But this was something different. So they were there just to find out how the miners were going to react and deal with this. But after the miners came out, and this was interesting, there's psychological term called symbiosis, a symbiotic relationship. And with the two miners that were rescued, Davey Fallon was 58 years old, Hank Throne was 28. So there was this parent-child thing, this adult-child relationship with these two. It was symbiotic, and I believe that the older Fallon actually saved the life of Throne by just keeping him grounded and centered.
Let us center this with Maxim Furek and Gene Steinberg and Tim Swartz. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue with the reports of a mining disaster in 1963 in Pennsylvania that was thrown off the press later that year because that's when JFK was assassinated. I have only a very brief story about JFK, by the way. I think anyone alive in those days remembers what they were doing. I took my bicycle to the post office to get some mail. I had a post office box for my little UFO magazine, which was, of course, 18 years old at the time. And I just noticed everybody looking glum. But I didn't watch any TV during the day. I was busy doing other stuff. Mm-hmm. And so my dad comes home from work, and he says, "Did you hear the president has been shot?" And that's the first I heard of it. And then, I don't know, a couple of years later, a year or two later, we went to see Mark Lane, a former New York State assemblyman, later author of Rush to Judgment, and he spent a couple of hours in a lecture explaining why the Warren Commission and its theory of a lone gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald, must be false.
Yep.
But that's another show.
And another juicy conspiracy. I mean, we still don't know at this point, you know. So there's plenty of conjecture, plenty of books and narratives about that. And, you know, but all we do know about that is that there were a lot of players, you know, whether it was the mafia, you know, the mob or whatever, a lot of players involved in that. So, yeah, we'll never know.
You mentioned Richard Shaver before, who he was a friend of mine. And I think, I don't know if Tim knew him, but Tim Beckley did. And going back then, of course, Shaver and Ray Palmer were very friendly. And in, this gets to be a crazy synergy here, during the days of Amazing Stories in the 40s, a frequent letter writer to Ray Palmer was Fred Lee Christman. He was one of the figures in the Maury Island UFO hoax of 1947. And later was mentioned in the New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison's probe into the Kennedy assassination and the theory that maybe Crispin was one of the hobos up on the grassy knoll that may have been seen at that time. So that's a convergence. Fred Lee Christman, Amazing Stories, Ray Palmer, Maury Island, the Kennedy assassination.
Amazing, yeah. Yeah, connect the dots, yeah.
Back to the Shepton mystery, how long were these guys trapped underground?
Okay, so they were trapped for 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And they used an innovative rescue technique. They drilled a borehole. They were going to put these metal cages down there. They were going to put the miners in the cage one at a time and extricate them. And they weren't able to do that because the mine shaft was irregular, and they felt that the miners would be trapped and they would die a horrible death, you know, worse than what they had now. So they were able to go and drill boreholes, widen those boreholes, and then bring them up wearing these parachute harnesses and helmets. Now, the interesting thing was that Davy Fallon, the older guy, the 58-year-old, told Hank Throne, he said, "Hank, when you get to the top, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell them what we saw down here. They're going to think we're crazy." And the first thing that Hank Throne did when the helicopter took him over to the Hazleton General Hospital, and they had the paparazzi. The paparazzi were out in force in 1963, just as they are in 2023. And Hank Throne started to talk about seeing the vision of Pope John the 23rd. He called him the stranger, talked about the humanoid creatures, talked about seeing the golden stairwells, and all of that, and he left it out of the bag. This was something that Davy Fallon didn't want to talk about. So Davy Fallon wasn't looking for publicity about this. He wanted to keep it quiet. But then Hank Throne let the cat out of the bag. Associated Press had some sort of an exclusive deal with these miners. I believe it was for a year. So there was all kinds of articles, you know, from AP writers that they talked about the paranormal aspects. And the visitation of Pope John the 23rd was probably one of the most significant aspects of the Shepton narrative.
Now, these guys were 2 weeks underground in complete darkness.
Right.
So how could they see these things?
Well, that's a good question. How could they see these things? You know, they were in a situation where there was no light, but they saw doorways, and they saw the vision of Pope John the 23rd, who had died 2 months earlier. The Pope had died in June of 1963. The Shepton Mine disaster took place in August of 63. So they saw all these things in the darkness. After 6 days, they were able to go and drill a borehole. They found the miners after 6 days. They were able to send them food and water. They were able to go and send them some medication for their hands. But they still saw the Pope. And Vatican scholars have said that Shepton was one of the Pope's miracles. And the Pope was canonized in 2014. And Vatican academics said that Shepton was one of the miracles that he performed.
So both of these guys saw the same things. It wasn't like one guy was seeing it and then describing it to the other, but both were seeing it at the same time?
Yeah, so what's interesting is that there was a guy named Ed Conrad. He called himself the Truth Dispenser. He was an old newspaper guy from Shenandoah, Pennsylvania. This is deep in the heart of coal country. And Ed befriended Davy Fallon. So with Ed Conrad being in the story, what he did was he brought the paranormal closer to the scientific. By that I mean he introduced Davy Fallon to Dr. Bruce Grayson, who was he was from the University of Virginia. He was one of the experts on near-death experiences. He took him down to see Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, also in Virginia, and she had written on death and dying, one of the landmark studies of the 20th century, and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross said that what the miners experienced there was an example of life after death, and she was referring to Pope John the 23rd. Again, the Pope had died in August of 63. No, the Pope had died in June of 63, and Shepton took place in August of 63. So this was an example of life after death. The other thing, too, if you're into Roman Catholic mysticism, if you believe in miracles and all of that, all three of the miracles that the Pope allegedly performed happened after he had died. And I was at a book signing. There was a Roman Catholic nun who was there. And I said to the sister, I said, "Sister, did you know that all three of the miracles of the Pope happened after he died?" And she goes, "Well, of course." And I go, "What do you mean, of course?" She goes, "Well, he died and went to heaven where he got that power, that authority, and then he came down and he performed those miracles." So that's the story. Like I said, Vatican academics believe that. And when we talk about miracles, we're talking about something of a supernatural element, something that, you know, when they define miracles, it's something that a person is holy person, you know, has lived a holy life, and God works through those, performing miracles through them. So, you know, we were talking about John Fogerty and the hoodoo being channeled through him. You know, it's the same similar concept. Good people in some cases, you know, get that power, that affirmation from God, and they perform miracles. So this is what we believe happened with Pope John the 23rd. In all three cases, he just stood over there in the corner with his arms folded, giving these miners the message that they were going to be rescued, that they were going to be saved. So he was sending them a message. He wasn't digging them out with a shovel. He wasn't giving them food or water. He was just sending a message that everything was going to be all right. So that was Pope John the 23rd, and that happened in August of 1963.
One can say to be skeptical. One can say to be skeptical that maybe under all this stress, these people had hallucinations.
Yeah, and you could say that. You know, when I wrote the book, what I did was I just followed what they said. I spent weeks and weeks and weeks at these different newspapers looking through the microfiche, talking to people in Shepton, Oneida, putting together the narrative, and not saying that it was hallucination caused by drinking sulfur water or sensory deprivation. You know, I wasn't going to do to the Shepton miners what the government did to everybody since 1947 that's seen UFOs, you know, saying that they are somehow mentally unstable, that they're looking at the planet Venus, that they're seeing reflections of a light or whatever, you know. And a little bit later, Gene and Tim, I'm going to talk about the UFOs that I have seen. And I have seen numerous flying saucers, and I'm the proverbial man who knew too much.
We're going to learn a little too much with Maxim and Gene and Tim. Right, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.